The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 319. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Right, with an A.
Brett Murdoch.
Just in time.
Just in time. And Brian Monjoma.
Rest in peace, Melvin. We'll be sure to send you some photos from the moon.
Oh, man. Yo, what's up with Dogecoin right now, man?
It's Dogecoin.
Doge? Is it Doge? I thought it was Doge.
No, it's Doge. Doge is the internet word for dog.
Okay. Oh, really? I thought I've been saying Doge this entire time. Ain't that
something? Nope, Doge.
All right, now I know. I don't even know what to say to any of this shit. This has been a wild, crazy week. But since I have you here, I need to show off a little bit. Yo, like my new lighting setup, baby. Look at this shit, man. Looking prettier
than cool enough. Lighting.
You know? Yeah, the cool lighting. me and Manny did all this. He did his artistry. But there's just a taste of things to come. Things will get even better looking. Your boy, man, about to look clean in this motherfucker. But you shall
see. I like how it's like the sodium colors of like the dark blue.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because actually light blue. We actually make it. Yo, check this out. It's fucking with shit right now, son. Because I got this app and shit. Like, Brian, this is blue. Like, that's real blue right there, you know? I could make it red, make it evil, you know? Fucking kill all you
anything but green, right? Yeah. Oh,
here's the thing. Green kind of looks fucked up on this. Like, it don't look
good. Green does. Brown. Sure it does.
Yeah, green. Yeah, there's green. Xbox. Hey, we're fucking with Xbox.
There you go.
The green. It hurts your eyes.
You know. So yeah, man. Good shit. So stay tuned, man. It, you know, got more changes coming. That's the thing about the run. We always improving ourselves little bit by little bit by little bit. I should do that. Like, depending on the topic, I should change the fucking colors and shit. You know, like we're gonna be talking about Xbox trying to make it green. You know. Oh man.
And the one thing about color is that it's affected by your environment. The reason why you're probably your green doesn't look exactly green is because of the color of your walls and stuff like that. A good example of that is like if you've ever seen the movie Hellboy, there was this problem in the movie where like Guillermo del Toro was like, yeah, because we're using so many different colored lighting, Hellboy doesn't always look red. Because the different lighting that's on him, so they had to subtly change the makeup for every single colored environment that he was in to make him look more red. That environment.
They didn't do any digital color correction in that shit back then.
No, I mean you still even if you're doing digital color correction, you still need to make those sorts of adjustments. Yeah. You know, if it's not there in reality, you can't fully change the color of it.
Yeah.
Uh oh, Brett.
Yeah, there we go. We got Brett over here looking pretty. What's going on, man?
Showing off his lights.
Yeah. Brett's like, fuck, I'm not going to be outdone by Tony. Fuck this shit. And we can't hear you, brother. We cannot hear you.
Dude. Said if I wanted to flex, I would have lit a fire.
Hey, there you go. Ooh. Yeah, that is true. Like that shit, man. Let's go. It's cold.
It is cold. It is cold. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for turning your camera on, man. Got to get everybody.
Brett, where do you get your wood? Where do you get the wood?
I don't get wood.
Oh, it's
gas.
Yep. Damn, Brett, I didn't know you were that old. You can't get wood?
I knew somebody was going to bite on that.
You fucking did it, man. You set me up. Oh God. Anyway, man, let's get into it. We got a lot of news to cover, and we're gonna go with the biggest one. I'm not even gonna pretend to know what the fuck's going on. So Chris, Chris, I'm letting you take over the shit. Explain what's happening with the GameStop and all this other shit. Go ahead, Chris. I know you got graphs maybe, so go ahead, go nuts. talk us through it like we're, you know, not retarded, but like, you know, we're regular people. We're not stockbrokers. Just, you know, walk us through it. So what is going on, man? Like, start from the beginning.
Yes, Chris, explain to us artists what's going on.
So, I mean, it's very interesting, but so the short version is that some novice and amateur investors publicly found out that GameStop was being shorted by certain hedge funds, right? And that's public knowledge. So what when you short sell a stock, that means you'll borrow stock from a broker, and then you then sell it on the hopes that it's a gamble, right? So sell the stock hoping that the price will fall, right? But when you borrow stock, you have to give it back to the broker, right? You didn't exchange money. It's just like, I'm borrowing this stock, but I'll return it to you. So if I buy 100 shares of something at maybe, $10, right? And then I sell it, I'm hoping that the price will fall. So let's say the price falls a day or two later to $7. I'll then, I sell it on the difference, right? Like, do I have that backwards? Like, so I'm just trying to get on the yield of it. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, Chris is right. You borrow, the stock, or you borrow money. It's kind of in this, you know, it's like poker chips. You can't really separate them. But you borrow it in the hopes that the stock is going to raise a little bit, and you can punch out your profits. Now the hinge here is that you only have a certain amount of time for that stock to reflect that upward tick. So when the internet found out that they were shorting short-term trading against GameStop, what they did was they all rallied and bought GameStop stock, and they bought enough GameStop stock that the price rose substantially above what these people had paid, and they intentionally kept it there until the time ran out, forcing them to sell back stock at a significant loss. Just one hedge fund had $15 billion worth of damages.
Yeah.
So basically, they're putting a chokehold on it until the hedge funds have to sell it back at an increased price, and they call that a short squeeze.
Yeah,
so a lot of money to do it, and they had a lot of people.
Well, it was a lot of people, so it was a grassroots thing. So instead of like one billionaire throwing $15-20 million buying shares, which is how this started initially with so I don't know if people know Michael Burry. He's who Bale played in The Big Short. He's the guy who bet against the subprime mortgages in 2008. He made billions of dollars on that. So when GameStop was down to about $2.50 a share, he bought $15 million worth of GameStop stock, and then now having a controlling interest, he forced them to buy back their own stock, right? He basically had a chokehold on him. He said, "I want you to buy back your stock. You buy back your outstandings, so I don't have a lot of risk." So he was basically trying to force them to do that to keep the price low. And he started doing this during the pandemic. He was basically hoping that GameStop would just crumble, like the stock would just keep going down, and he would buy out and make millions, right? So other guys got into Melvin Capital. Other guys started getting in on this. But anytime you do that, this is all public knowledge, right? So this is not insider trading or anything. You can watch this. Like if somebody shorts, like when Melvin Capital or whoever, if they short a stock, if they borrow it, that has to be public knowledge. That has to be put out there. So these guys on Reddit, these Wall Street bets guys, and they all, I guess they use Robinhood and Webull to trade, these online apps to do their trades. They said, "Hey, if we buy in now, if you guys buy in as much as you can, we force the stock up. We'll not only force these guys to sell out, they have to sell out at a loss, right? They and that will cause the stock to go up even further, and we'll make more money. right? Basically, they were playing the hedge fund game against the hedge funds themselves, and they pulled it off spectacularly. Now,
so beautiful.
It was, and it would have been beautiful if it was really a free market and they let that ride. GameStop probably would have shot well over $400 a share yesterday. But what happened is all the hedge funds started crying foul, calling the SEC and whatever, and complaining that regular novice investors got together and basically embarrassed them, you know, beat them at their own game. Melvin Capital, who had to have a loan from, I think, Citadel or another hedge fund, burned through $3 billion in a day because they couldn't cover their losses, right? So this is how bad this was. And then the hit pieces come out. You can see here, Melvin Capital. It says hedge fund targeted. Nobody was really targeted. These guys got together and said, hey, we could beat them at their own game. It wasn't a specific like, haha, let's kill these guys. No, they're like, hey, if we do this and we force them to sell out at a high price, guess what? The stock goes up even further and we'll make more money. Who wouldn't do that? And everything they did was 100% legal. 100%. But you know what happened? Robinhood and the other guys got threatened by Citadel and these other holding companies, and they halted trading yesterday early. They prevented the stock from moving in either direction. Now, this is unheard of, right? The stock wasn't tanking. It was actually going up. It was inflating. So they got threatened. And Robinhood and all these guys, they stopped it. The NASDAQ basically ordered a hold on it. And the hold was still active this morning. It's only probably this afternoon that the stock started trading again.
Oh, Chris, it's gone a step further. The story just keeps getting more popcorn worthy. So, Robinhood put a hold on these things, right? Which caused some people to freak out and sell. So the stock naturally took a dive. When the stock took a dive, Robinhood decided it was too volatile a stock for them to broker and started automatically selling people's shares.
Yes, I think there's a legality issue in there. They decided for their investors, their customers basically, to sell the stock for them. So people were saying that that GameStop was being sold in their name, and literally Robinhood was telling them it was for their own good, which is insane. That I've never heard of that. Unless you give some kind of power of attorney to your broker or something to do these things for you, they're not supposed to do that. But Robin Hood went and did that anyway. So that's nuts that they did that. And you can see the dip that Brett's talking about is right here. It happened this morning. So when the panic happened, it started to fall. So in after hours, actually, GameStop was up to $468. So to put that in perspective, and this is after hours trading. Regular trading, I think, stopped around here. Let me see where about 4:30, if I can get this thing to line up. It was about 347, 350, right? GameStop, I like I said, was at its base was at $2.50. And yesterday it climbed to $350. And then after hours traded, it climbed to $468.
If you invested a grand or $2,000, you'd be doing pretty money right now.
Yeah. You have
fucking invested, bro. Fuck.
Yeah, you have a yield, and that's not even if you invested yesterday. Not yesterday, Tuesday, right? Tuesday, mm-hmm. GameStop was like it started already ballooning. These guys started this, you know, probably on Monday or so. So you go back to Monday trading, you're at $70 a share, right? But then you come to Wednesday and you stopped at 350. I mean, that's crazy, right? But if you bought in earlier, if you had GameStop shares at the low of 250, you had a 4,800% increase in your share value.
Damn.
That's unheard of. GameStop yesterday had more shares volume traded than 10 days of Tesla.
Wow.
Right? And this is in a single day. So it's broke all sorts of records. And this is why the hedge fund guys panicked. They panicked for multiple reasons, but this one of the reasons.
Okay, just to add a bit of fun to the story, just to so that people can understand just how much stupid amounts of money this was. There's one guy on Reddit. He bought GameStop, I think, at around a couple of dollars, like $2, give or take. So he bought $50,000 worth of shares. And his portfolio, as of yesterday, when it topped out, was at over $77 million.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
So he's just laughing. Like, he overnight just became stupidly rich. And yeah. He's not sold
yet. He's already rich. He gambled $70,000.
Or $50,000. You know, but he gambled and won. And that's the thing. Because now the philosophy is, you should have seen the hit pieces. I don't even have them open. If you watch CNBC this morning, the stuff they were saying was crazy.
They were salty as fuck.
They were pissed. They were saying that these people are attacking the wealthy. They start calling them all sorts of smears. Yes, they were literally saying they should be arrested. I'm like, arrested for what? They broke zero laws. They played the market exactly how these guys play it.
See, now this may change everything, because now that it's out there, now that people know they can do this, we can see this happening nonstop because of all these like Robinhood and all these apps that are available to people. We could see this for anything.
Yeah, but Robinhood is now shady, because not only did they halt trading and then started automatically selling, like Brett said earlier, but I didn't know this, that Citadel, the hedge fund that was trying to bail out Melvin Capital for shorting GameStop. Yeah, they basically own Robinhood. So they told them to stop people from trading GameStop, and they did it, right? So that's not a trustworthy thing. Like, you need imagine a casino. You start winning a few hands at a table, and somebody comes over to you and just grabs you. You're not counting cards or anything, and they just grab you and throw you out.
Yeah,
that's literally what this is the equivalent of, right? You don't do that. If you play a low stakes game and you make big money, and you go to the high stakes table, the casino lets you play because they want to get you back in so they get their money back. They don't kick you out, right? Because they lose their money. Like, you still won. So this is absolutely ridiculous. This is so much ego involved in here, because when billionaires do this, remember the subprime mortgages in 2006, there was natural gas futures. One hedge fund just destroyed another because it was two billionaires playing against each other. And that was totally fine. Nobody cried about this.
Yeah.
They're crying about it because ordinary Joes made stupid amounts of money and broke these other hedge funds who are multi-billion dollar hedge funds. You know,
yep. It's making it dangerous. But here's the other thing, like, towards Adam's question, like, yeah, I do think the world has changed, because suddenly that the world has found out, and the wealth gap is the thing that is uniting people now. So you have people that are going to systematically do this. I'll be honest, I'm getting on board. You all know how I feel about shareholders and getting on board a system that is basically destined to break shit down. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. But beyond that, people are, the funny thing is, the people complaining about being targeted are now actually getting targeted. There was a guy who, I think he said something along the lines of, these are people just sitting at home, receiving their checks, now trading our stocks. Like, it was just one of the most pretentious things ever, and clearly made it clear that he despised the poors. So the internet has now, as the internet does, decided to find what shorts he's trading and target him. So yeah, we're actually now seeing this turn into the attacking of the wealthy. So this might be the beginning of Eat the Rich.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There was actually a march outside of the stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange today, and they had Eat the Rich signs and all this stuff. So it's an active movement, but these guys did it to themselves. Like, not only did they get salty, they went on major news networks and started yelling that poor people were beating them at their own game, basically. Cry fest.
The smears were some of the best things I've seen. Well, I say some of the best things were some of the funniest things I've seen. Like, they used every single tactic that they could. They tried to fear people, saying that, oh, the bubble's going to burst soon, you have to sell now. They started calling everyone names under the sun. So the usual stuff. Oh, they're racist, they're Nazis, they're alt-right, they're Trump factors. One outlet even went as far as saying that these guys were Gamergaters. Yes.
Why am I not
Gamergate came back.
You know, I almost tweeted, I'm like, are they going to dig up Gamergate? Look at that.
They did, yeah.
Of course they did, you know. By the way, I said not to get too political. You know, the whole Trump thing, I'm like, damn, Trump Ranger Center really is real. This motherfucker's out of office and you're still digging him up, really? Anyway, continue, Chris. I just find that hilarious, you know. Are we going to get Snowball, too, from Animal Farm? Did he do it, too? Snowball's fault, you know?
Yeah, it's really bad, but I do love this, and because it really stuck it to these guys. These guys were just happy that, oh, the peasants have their little investor app, and they can make a little money over there, and they're playing over here in the big boy pool, and some guys got together and said, fuck it, we're going to go stick it to the big boys. We're going to play in their pool, and we're going to take their money, and we'll make some money. And guess what? They did it. And I think it's fantastic. And they should keep doing it as long as they don't do bullshit like this, because they were trying to get in on the shorts of AMC and BlackBerry. And guess what? Robinhood halted those too.
Yeah.
So if they see this happening, and this should totally be illegal, because this is not how the free market works. If you're going to buy into a stock, you should be able allowed to do it. And if you know, you call your cousin, tell Mikey down the street or whatever to buy in, you start screaming, they all buy in, and that's legal.
Hey, yo, Mike.
It's sheer numbers. Literally, it's people just spending a little bit of money, just blowing everything out. And it's the perfect way to essentially take these people down. Because it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's not one person. It's not, it's not just one person sort of doing it. It's literally just a bunch of people who don't have a lot pulling it all together.
What is it's a weird redistribution of wealth?
Mm.
And I have to say,
thing. Did anybody know
what?
What?
The board GameStop. Of GameStop. Like, what are they saying?
Where's Reggie fusing me at, man?
Yeah, and I hear all the hedge funds guys bitching, but what's the actual GameStop?
I don't think they're going to say anything.
They still don't know they're going out of business.
Yeah, this is not going to help
GameStop
in the long run.
Well, I'm sure those guys are ready to cash out, because whatever stocks Reggie got on the company when he joined, that shit is going to be worth so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. The board is selling right now.
Yeah, they're selling out because like GameStop's market capitalization went from something like $300 million to $800 billion. You realize they shot up into the Fortune 500 in one day.
Fucking insane.
So yeah, I mean, the board, the easiest thing for them to do is not say anything and just sell out, you know? You know, and pull that parachute, get the fuck out. It's great. It's good for them. And GameStop can just brag about this. Like, hey, our market capitalization is almost $1 trillion. Who's better than us? Like, what do they need? They didn't need to do anything for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious.
It's kind of the best case scenario for him, actually.
Instead of
who wants to retire early, rich? Exactly. And the whole board's like, I do. Yeah. So we do nothing. Agreed.
You know what's funny? Just real quick, just a quick aside, because if you guys saw the announcement today, Gamertag Radio, they're actually going to be interviewing Reggie Fils-Aimé. Wouldn't it be hilarious if they're interviewing after he retired? Like, hey, I'm retired now. Fuck it, I made all this money. You know, that'd be insane.
And I'm sure Reggie could have already retired as is from
oh yeah,
his business Nintendo.
He's good.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Chris. GameStop, this is not ultimately going to help them at all. Survives like those guys, they're done. Yeah. You know.
I think, you know, on multiple levels, like why we talk about this is GameStop, right? We usually talk about GameStop, love it, hate it, whatever. I hate them. Most people do. I just wish they would go away. But this is hilarious because this is the little guy sticking it to the man, literally, right? In the broadest sense possible. And this is the beauty of it. This is like using a free market to redistribute wealth, really. And they played it so well and so brilliantly, and they made so much money. And if they were allowed to keep it going, I think it would have been amazing. Like GameStop, I think would have been probably $500, $600 a share. It would have ballooned into the stratosphere. It would have been amazing to see if it was allowed to just naturally do it, if there wasn't fuckery involved and they halted the trading and stuff because these guys got panicked and started calling in every favor possible to get the NASDAQ to shut it down, which is, I think that should be illegal because that's market manipulation. So. They were going on the Reddit board saying, oh, you guys are manipulating the market and you're going to go to jail. No, motherfucker, how about you calling the NASDAQ and calling in favors to get them to put the brakes on that? That should be illegal. That's market manipulation. What these guys were doing was, it was in essence, the cornerstone of the market. They bought low and they sold high. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah, the whole analogy with the casino is just perfect because that's how it is. It's like the casino is whoever owns it is the house of the person whoever owns it. But what Wall Street and you know all of these stocks are supposed to be is the free market. It's supposed to be our market. So whenever we win, they're you know, the hedge funders, all those billionaires, all those people who like to, you know, short sell those stocks. They go crying up to the people who are in power, and they enact because who's paying them off?
Right,
the hedge funders.
It's a risk reward system, and you take a risk doing shorts, right? And you take a risk that somebody could squeeze you. Now they're used to another billionaire coming along and squeezing them, right? And they play the big games, and they can't contest with that, right? But because small guys squeeze them. And squeezed it pretty bad, destroyed them, they are completely embarrassed. So this is like an ego trip on top of everything else for them. It's like, oh, poor people squeezed us, how dare they, right? And yeah, like I said, the casino, nobody stops you from, a house is not going to stop you when you're on a winning streak. They're going to put you at the high stakes table and give you blue chips and hope they can win that money back. But this is like crybaby bullshit. They got so salty, they kicked them out. Like, they stopped the game. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's clear that the upper stratosphere of the wealthy don't believe that people of a certain wealth should even be playing in the stock market. They view it as an intrusion into their money-making playground. I have to say, the internet is a fucked up place, and I have never been prouder.
The next couple of days are going to be interesting because, you know, you look at what your politicians are saying, you know, the Congress people, whatever, what the rhetorics are, because you know which side someone's on with the response about this is, you know, a lot of the establishment people are going to be on the side of the hedge funders, the billionaires, because they're the ones paying for their freaking campaigns. So whenever you see, you know, people defending these guys like CNBC, they're the fucking artists of it, and there's actually people owning them right now in their own freaking TV station. And yeah, it's man, this has to change. You know, this is, I mean, all of the stuff that happens in Wall Street is fucked up. You know, Chris mentioned the whole 2006 and, you know, the subprime mortgages and all that stuff. This, you know, when people actually figure out a way to, you know, get the power to the players, quote unquote, then that's when, you know, that's when they're really fucked. That's when they know that they can't just manipulate the system so they can win all the time. When people finally get some, you know, knowledge about this, and a lot of people are just finding out today, yesterday, tomorrow about how all of this works, or at least have a quick, you know, refresher on how all that stuff is important. And it makes people more knowledgeable about who they're following on, you know, when in terms of politics and people who represent them. So this is going to be interesting. This is GameStop out of all the fucking companies is the one caught in the middle.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. GameStop
was the game. It seems fitting.
That is like GameStop.
The worst company is going to radically change the way that the stock market works. And Asik said, like, it's like that guy that you hate the whole movie and then does, like, an awesome self-sacrifice at the end that saves the whole team. You're like, oh, I guess he wasn't that bad. That's GameStop. Like, way to go down in a blaze of glory, because you're going down. This is happening. You're going bankrupt. But way to do it in style, man. Like, that's like jumping into a volcano off a motorcycle. Fucking yeah.
Chris, what's up with this image you have up here? The hedge fund genius who started GameStop's 4,800% rally now calls it unnatural, insane, and dangerous. What's up with
this? Oh, yeah. So this is Michael Burry. This is who Christian Bale played in The Big Short in the movie. This guy is the guy who basically crashed the subprime mortgages by betting against it, right? So he started this whole conundrum because he's the one who bought into GameStop low and forced them to basically almost spend their entire market capitalization buying their outstanding shares so he could assure that their stock price would not jump too high, right? He was trying to, in terms, short them in a long game to make tons of money. And so other guys got in on it, like Melvin Capital and a couple of the hedge funds. They got in on it. He started all this, right? But the Reddit guys were the ones who capitalized on it, realized what he was doing, and then bought in and inflated the price. And then they got these guys had to sell because they were shorting the stock. They borrowed it. They had to sell out. They sold out at a tremendous loss, lost billions of dollars, right? And that caused the stock to shoot up further. But the irony that he's calling it unnatural, insane, and dangerous, this is the shit he does. This is how he made his money.
This isn't one others doing it.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Now everybody can do it. That's bad.
Yeah. It's like if Chris Angel gave out all his tricks, then everyone's doing mind free.
Everybody's mind free.
That's why this is going to change things. I mean, like, everybody now, like, myself included, we're sitting there like, okay, so basically we need to wait for a billionaire to jump on trying to short another billionaire and then mob the shit out of it and make money. Okay. How can you possibly respond to that other than changing either some drastic laws and being very clear about fucking the poor, or the adaptation of the stock market that doesn't, broker in shorts? So, and that, honestly, that'd be better. Like, we all want a stock market where people invest longer and care about a company instead of just trying to flip it and fuck it over in the process. I'm looking at you, EA.
So what do you think is going to be the end result? Because I don't see an end to this. Once I saw, like you mentioned, the AMC and some of the other companies that are being popped up, this just can keep going.
Yeah, so even short stocks are no longer viable. Yeah, that's the point. It. Yeah. It's done. They're just dangerous.
Yeah.
And here the problem is now the mentality has got into like, oh, so the people can actually figure this information out. It's weird. It's like everybody was individually being fucked, you know, not quite too hard, and then somebody got fucking sick of it, and you know what? If we all band together, we could just fuck them instead.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
And that idea is not going away. That's the thing.
Even if day trader bets on Reddit, they said that's where it started. It was like a Reddit site.
Wall Street Bets, they were able to coordinate. Wall Street Bets, they were able to coordinate purchasing the stock. So they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to buy into the stock, and this should happen. So let's all get in on this, right? And they did.
Nobody saw.
Hold it. They said, hold the stock and force them to have to return the stock. They have to sell out at this high price. And guess what? They lose, we win, right? Simple as that. That's done. These guys do this all the time. So they just beat them at their own game. That's all this was.
Yeah, and Reddit shut it down as well.
Well, Reddit shut down the group. Robinhood is probably not going to exist because there's a huge class action lawsuit now. These guys are not taking this, right?
There's so much potential loss that they can sue for. Like, from the moment that they sold it, they can say, okay, well, it goes, say, from let's say it goes from $400 to $700 per share, right? They can claim that they would have sold it at $700 and that they're suing for the difference. So there is big money in this class action lawsuit too. I hate to say it like this, but like, it's not morality based, it's money based. And when it becomes money based, shit gets serious.
Yeah, it's you sue on the spread,
and that's how you hurt these motherfuckers. That's how you hurt these motherfuckers, right? Because it's not about smearing them in the thing. It's literally the only real way to cause change in this world is not by protesting or other stuff. It's actually hurting the people that are really fucking everybody over by where it really matters, where in their pocket.
Yeah,
right.
We found a way to get there, and we don't without having to storm their house. I don't know about you guys. I'm on board the next Big Short.
Well, I think a lot of people on board, but it's like, will they change the rules so that you can't do that anymore? That would be a hell of a thing, because then you could argue that, okay, you're basically robbing everyone in broad daylight in everyone's face, like, and
do you think
the market's completely rigged? No, they won't. That's the thing. If you do that, then everybody sees how the market is rigged, and you will collapse the market, because why would anybody stay in there seeing how this actually works? The curtain is open now, and they've already started the bullshit. So if they do the natural progression, and if they get laws changed in their favor, that would be ridiculous. Like, if you can short without making that public knowledge, that shorting should be illegal, period. They should remove that shit.
Yeah.
But if they go, oh, we don't want the plebs to know when we're doing this, and they actually get the laws changed to prevent that, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of those hedge funds have literally just stabilized so many fucking companies. Same shit.
Yeah.
They're
sharks.
Places like Toys R Us, you know, like whenever, you know, even Disney was even flirting in that when they weren't doing so well, they were even looking at what things would like that were happening with them. So it's like anybody who gets into that, so, you know, exactly what you were saying, Brett, when they get into that, when the blood is in the water, that's when those sharks start coming in, you know, and start trying to, you know, pick off the pieces.
Yeah, the whole thing with the Wall Street Bets Reddit, from what I understand, it got locked down because they just got an influx of hundreds of thousands of new users that they couldn't moderate. So I think that I don't think they were shut down. I think they just
peasant army.
Everybody wants in on it. Everybody wants in. It's like, oh, this is what they're talking about. This is what they're strategizing. Yeah. Let's do it.
Do you want to fuck the rich and get paid for it?
Yep.
In a world where people are losing fucking jobs because we can't do anything about what's going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Manny, you bring up a good point. How much do you want to fucking bet that these people, and I've seen numbers, I think Tony posted one news article that said around $80 billion they lost in the past couple of days?
Yeah.
Billion with a B, man. I fucking bet you these motherfuckers are going to get bailed out.
This is how we're going to redistribute wealth, at least for a little bit before they make it illegal. But like, yeah, this is... It's literally just like, okay, we're coming and taking the money, and the government's going to give you money instead of the government, because the government won't give us money, so we're just going to fucking take it from you, and I'm sure you'll get it from the government.
I got my stimmy last week, baby.
$600?
Yeah, yep. And I'm waiting for that Biden check, too.
Anyway, Biden check is a little bit healthier, man. That's some, hey, I can pay my rent this month shit.
I'm trying to get myself a new PC over here. Anyway, go on, Brett. Go on. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was just saying $600, like, fuck you. Like, that's
you can buy yourself a PlayStation.
Hey, that's nothing to sneeze. That's a place. That's a place.
Yeah, dude. Okay.
But we're going off. We're going off the rails. We're going off the rails. Going off the rails. Go back to your point.
This is the social equivalent of getting a cake, cutting out a small slice for somebody, and then just taking the cake and leaving you the slice. Like, the idea here is that it's portioned out, that, you know, the wealthy get this much, and then poor guy to get the fucking scraps. Hate to sound like tinfoil hat here, but it's the fucking truth. And all of a sudden, the poors come in and take the lion's share, and like, here are those scraps you were talking about. Have fun. It's the next few weeks, the next month, the next thing. This is going to get very interesting very fast. I'm not going to follow up on this, but we're in an unprecedented time where the political environment is being completely destabilized and rebuilt, and now we're having the economic environment being completely destabilized and rebuilt. And maybe they have something to do with each other. That would make sense. I'm not going to theorize on that, but we're entering a really interesting time because, yeah, the mob just broke Wall Street. We just saw a mob, you know, hit the Capitol building. Like, it's very clear that people are losing control, and it's very clear that people are pissed. They don't have money. We're being bled dry. So, yeah, it's I'm trying to stay as politically neutral here as possible to be appropriate. So all I'm going to say is the power of the mob is showing and the system is breaking down. It's going to be interesting.
To be fair, though, it is actually bringing together both the right and the left against the rich guys. So it's a unifying force.
Dude, that's always... See, that's the thing. Okay. Put my tinfoil hat on. Old punk rocker here, so understand where I'm coming from. That's what it's always been about. It's never been about race. It's never been about male or female. Honestly, it's not even necessarily about nationalism. It's about poor versus rich. And unfortunately, the rich have enough influence to cloud the waters with all this other shit. I hate to burst anyone's bubble, but this kind of racist shit, it's not normal. It's not natural. It doesn't just happen by itself. Take it from somebody who grew up in the 90s. It was better. We've been divided. And who the fuck do you think divided us? The people on the fucking TV stations. The people with all the goddamn money. Nobody has the power to divide people like that except governments and billionaires.
Damn, Nickelodeon. Fucking hate you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's exposing what the truth has always been.
Yeah, like, it's class warfare. It's basically that's what it's always been about. It's a class divide. It's not a racial divide or anything else. It's that, and they've clouded everything. So, I will just end off with a request from Brian. Here's Stonks.
There he is.
Yes.
There's Stonks. By the way,
and we give it to you. The people.
By the way, I like what Barry Burns said in the chat. He goes, "Don't hate the player, hate the game. Stop."
you missed out on the best Barry Burton line.
Oh, what
he's like, it? "How much stock would a GameStop stop if a GameStop could stop stock?"
Oh, wow, impressive! Yeah. You said that. That's very impressive. Yeah, very impressive.
There you go.
I did read. I'm like, I'm not even going to bother with reading that fucking shit, tongue twister. Anyway, Chris, thank you for breaking all that down for us poor people.
it's a good conversation.
It was good. By the way, I just find it funny. I'm like, throw down, you know, we cover a lot of gaming topics. The first time we ever had to cover fucking stocks and all this other stuff. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I have an easier time understanding quantum mechanics in this shit. You know, like I understand. Stocks
are, let me put it to this way, Tony.
Holes in the system. That's a shit.
All a stock is guessing how much somebody wants the stock.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the company.
Yeah.
So don't think of it in terms of the company, except for like if the company comes out with something big, people are probably going to want more stocks in it. But it's so detached from reality. It's weird.
But
because that's it.
Brett, that's my point. Quantum mechanics is easy to understand because it's actually based on reality. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus, man.
It's equivalent to guessing who's going to be the popular kid after puberty. Like, you might have a good idea. You know, the kid with the hunchback's not going to get it, but you have no fucking clue, man.
Yeah, you never know, right? You never know. Very interesting discussion. Again, thank you for bringing that down. All right, we're going to go on to another heated topic that happened this week. I haven't said shit on Twitter because, you know, dudes misconstrue words, but now I'm finally going to get into it. We got to talk about our boy Ninja. He's causing controversy again. So he was interviewed by some outlet. I'm sorry, I don't know what outlet it was. And, you know, they were talking about him being an influencer, being like a hero to, you know, kids and all this shit. And he basically, you know, and they were like, how come you don't talk about, you know, certain social issues, you know, because of your influence or whatever. And apparently some people were saying some shit in his comment section. So he says that it is not his job to parent other people's kids. And it is not his job to teach his audience about racism and white privilege. And I'm reading this. I'm like, yeah, he's right. And I'm not a Ninja fan, right? I'm not a Ninja fan, but I'm like, yeah, he's 100% right. What is Ninja? And I'm not trying to demean the guy. I'm not trying to hate the guy. What is Ninja? He's a fucking Fortnite streamer. You're going to go to him. He's supposed to be an authority on race and white privilege. The guy's just, listen, if you want to hear about that, you go to people that are actually knowledgeable in that shit. Ninja ain't it. I know he has like millions and millions of followers, but they're all fucking kids. They're not going to understand that shit. They're going to turn off and go somewhere else. They don't, you know, it's like I've never liked that whole notion of like, oh, if you have, you know, millions of followers, you have a responsibility to teach them. No, you don't have a responsibility to do anything but fuck entertain them. Here's the only responsibility Ninja has is to not say anything outlandish and crazy to his audience. Like, as long as he's not telling them to go fucking rob banks and kill their parents, he's fine. He doesn't need to do anything beyond that.
Or go storm the Capitol.
Yeah, like, as long as he doesn't tell people to do crazy shit, he has no other responsibility than to entertain people. That's it. So I'm watching.
Honestly, he kind of has the responsibility not to do exactly what he fucking did. I won't break this into too much into racial shit, but like Adam, I'll tell you. Like, here's the thing: I'm white. I'm in a nice room. I can't say anything about racism because I'm privileged and white. Doesn't matter how much I work for this shit. Doesn't matter how much. Like, this could be inside a trailer, right? Like, you don't know what the outside of my house looks like. It could be this in a bedroom, but this looks nice. Got to be aware of the optics. I'm white in a nice looking place. Don't say shit about race. It's that fucking simple.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, dude, you're not the authority on this shit. By the way, Brett's actually in a studio right now. You guys don't know if you turn the camera around. You know, he's actually in Hollywood right now.
It's all a movie set.
You know,
yeah, but that's, I think,
you know, but by the way, I need to say this real quick. Right? The reason I didn't talk about this is because I'm just being real right now. A bunch of my peers that I work with 100% disagree with me. They were like, no, since he has all this influence, he has to do this. So I'm like, come on, get out of here. That's ridiculous.
Okay,
so let me finish. He's supposed to stop his show and just start talking about this stuff. I'm like, I'm sorry, and if this sounds racist, whatever, I'm not going to pay a pasty white dude from wherever the fuck is. He is not credible to talk about that shit. He really is not. See? You know?
That's why you don't say anything. Adam knows better.
But we've seen all this even with music. Whenever a band with metal or punk or whatever, and they get a big following, you know, like all the parents put their pitchforks up. Oh, they need to say things positive to the kids, and they can't be too. It's like once you have an audience, this is what's expected.
Yeah, why?
So with PewDiePie, because of an audience, because they were like, well, if we can't talk, they're not listening to us, but they're listening to you. If a parent is having trouble with their kid, and kid storms off in the room and then jumps on their iPad or whatever, and jumps on to watch some Fortnite or whatever, they're hoping that person is telling them good things and not telling them like what Marilyn Manson did when you played one of his songs back. Remember, it's like, fucking run away. Your parents don't love you. And he did the whole shit. He's like, that's what they think I'm doing? I'm gonna fucking do it then. You know? So it was funny, but we've heard this before. We've heard this.
A million times. Remember Charles Barkley? He got heat for that shit too back in the day where he said, I'm not a role model. People got mad. It's like,
I'm not a role model.
Yeah. You know, let me explain it to you. Like, yeah. I don't agree with it. I'll make that fact right now, but I understand the opposing point of view, and the best way I can put it is Oscar speeches. Okay. Like, that's honestly probably where this whole idea started. People used to go up on Oscar speeches, thank the people that helped them make the movie, thank the people that helped support them personally, act appreciative, and then leave.
Okay? Now Marlon Brando.
This is, again, growing up through the 90s when shit got all weird and changed for this fucking post 2000 shit. At a certain point, people started arguing that because they have the stage, because they have the platform and all the eyes are on them, it is good time to shed light on a charitable or credible cause that doesn't have enough weight to garner attention by itself. And that was seen as charitable. And then it became seen as almost obligatory, like we see now. At this point, if you don't talk about something fluffy and nice, and you know, you just go up and say something like, "I'm against racism." Okay, cool, that helped. But it's about using the platform. Think of it like you give somebody a sword; they have that sword. It's kind of their responsibility to use it if somebody attacks a town and they're the only person with a sword. So I don't agree with it again. But that's the argument, and when you're trying to understand it, that's
no, I understand it.
You finally walk yourself to the fucking. It's your responsibility to do this shit.
Yeah, no, by the way, I should say I fully understand where they're coming from. I just think it's stupid. That's it. I understand the other side. I think it's dumb. That's what, you know.
I, I, I,
just to add to this,
oh, go ahead,
I think it was the New York Times that interviewed him.
Of course, the New York Times trash that, fucking you know, website.
So that's where that started. Yeah.
That's a rag. What did Torrance call him? Fish rap journalist? Yeah, there you go.
I think it's weird that you would think that this guy would be an authority on any of this stuff. If anything, I mean, to be honest. Why? Yeah, go to somebody who's actually an expert, who actually's dealt with it, who's actually had to deal with a lot of stuff. Ninja's not the guy, you know.
Hey, listen, talking about plugging stuff real quick. Our homeboy Khalif Adams from Spawn. I mean, he talks about this stuff on his podcast all the time. Go check them out. That's an authority on this. Don't listen to Ninja. He's like, that guy's a clown.
But he already said that he's. It's not his job. Yeah, he already opted out of it. Yeah.
And I agree. Here's my thing with celebrities. Like, if you want to do that stuff on your own time, tweet about it, make your own private video, go right ahead. But if you're doing the entertaining part, or in Ninja's case, the streaming, don't worry about that. Do your thing, and then you could talk about activist stuff off the clock. You know, but it's like, imagine if we just stop doing this show right here to talk about some fucking activist shit. It's like, no one's here for that. They want to hear us talk about games.
I disagree with that. I think we should talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk. But if it's not something that we're comfortable with, then we shouldn't talk about it.
But that's our choice, Carlos. Yeah, if somebody came along in a chat or something and said, oh, you guys should be talking about white privilege, it's like, what?
This is the wrong show for that, man. We're talking about
games. I agree.
You know,
but what I'm saying is, like, if Ninja, with his platform and whatever he's accumulated, he can talk about it whatever the hell he wants. I mean, it's his prerogative to do what he wants with his platform, whether it's games, whether it's activism, whether it's anime or anti, whatever the hell he's into, he can do whatever he wants.
Manny,
let Carlos finish and then
Just real quick, I think I agree for the most part with Tony. He shouldn't be compelled to talk about this stuff, especially since he's not really an authority on anything. He's probably not that educated on it, I would assume.
Let's be real, you know.
I think the only responsibility he should have is just putting his audience in place. Like, if he's you know, being a safe haven for racists or, you know, murderers or whatever, he should keep those in check. I think that's his responsibility.
I agree. Yeah, be like, make sure that your comment section is clean. We do that here. We got Barry Burnett and Kristen. They don't know. There's no tolerance on Throwdown. If that shit happens in the chat, they're gone. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. That's us being responsible, right? But, like, us talking about certain things, I don't think, being responsible. I'm like, we're just not talking about it because that's not what we do around here. Again, responsibility is making sure that your chat is clean and that you yourself don't say anything crazy and outlandish. That's it. Yeah. You know?
I think this is a temp. Oh, Manny, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, like, I do think, yes, he can talk about whatever he wants to talk about, but that also can affect his audience. And I'm sure that's exactly why he doesn't talk about a lot of that stuff. Is because it can negatively affect it, you know, the things that he said. So what he's doing, so what he's doing is he's keeping to his wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he does, you know. So yeah.
I mean,
you go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch Mickey Mouse, you know, he's not talking about, you know, anything other than Mickey Mouse things, and that's what Ninja is. He's his own version of whatever a Mickey Mouse is in the gaming sphere, in the streaming sphere. And that's, I mean,
video games. That's it. That's all he wants
not,
to do.
Not, well, not everyone.
Officially, he doesn't want to keep playing video games. He wants to expand, but he can't.
Oh, yeah. It's all like we
is good. Sorry.
We all place a sort of a responsibility on, or we have this, you know, kind of notion that everyone is as, you know, intellectual, or everyone's as well versed, or everyone's as well educated as you think as you are, and not everyone is, man. You meet some of these people, and I'm not saying Ninja is dumb, he's a fucking millionaire.
You don't have to be smart to be a millionaire, bro.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can bet on GameStop for a couple of thousand,
you know.
But like, not everyone is adequate or is as educated to do this stuff. And some people, they just have their own lane. And as long as they're not hurting someone, yep, and as long as they're not throwing propaganda towards, you know, a bad cause, then I think you should just let them be.
That's it, you know. I don't like having to.
I feel like there's always a round robin of kind of like a social justice litmus test for major influencers to bend the knee to, and I feel like he just is in the bullseye because this happened before.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, he made a comment, and they were asking him why he doesn't play against female gamers, you know, and he's like, look, I'm trying to avoid problems with that, all right? You know, because what are they going to say? If he's like one of the top Fortnite players. If he trounces female gamers, they're going to call him sexist.
Yeah.
Right? That's a trap right there that he's trying to avoid. So well, they tried to pin him on that before.
The reason why he said the reason why he doesn't do that stuff is because he doesn't want people to associate him with them as a sort of shipping and couples and stuff like that. So he doesn't want that to affect his marriage. That's what he said. Yeah.
And again, that's his right. He shouldn't be forced to play with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to defend this guy. I don't give a fuck about Ninja, you know? But I see something wrong here. I got to call it out, you know? It's crazy.
Understand. I understand when somebody goes and gives a big spiel or something like that, and an argument always erupts about, you know, whether people want to hear that, or whether it's intrusive, or whether that they should be responsible for the platform. Where are we getting? I think the important question is where are we getting this cry that demands that people utilize their platform like that?
Well,
that idea to the nth degree. It's kind of like Chris says, it's this weird hoop that you have to jump through.
Yeah, and it comes in cycles. Like in the '80s, it happened to metal. I mean, they marched Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne into a courtroom and blamed them for the suicide of a kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Kennedy's had to go through the same shit.
Yeah. So in the '90s, the parents group went after animation cartoons. They changed the laws. They passed laws that you couldn't show, you had to show educational TV after 3 p.m. So we lost afternoon cartoons that we grew up with because the parents group went, we don't want the kids watching this shit, right? And that, what did they do after that? Joseph Lieberman and Hillary Clinton went and started trials about Mortal Kombat because video games were too violent. This just comes in waves. It's over and over again. It said, think of the children. And, you know, and this is the latest thing. Okay, streamers are having more influence over kids now, apparently, than their parents. That's because I think most parents today are fucking lazy.
Yeah,
and you put your kid in front of an iPad and stuff, and they're watching Ninja, and they'd rather listen to him than you. And they're like, "Well, Ninja needs to be a better role model. That's he doesn't need to do shit. Why don't you pull the iPad away at a certain time and be a parent?
Yeah,
how about that?
Give him the iPad, and then tweet the creator, "Hey, teach my kid about racism. You teach him about racism. You're a parent." Yes.
Honestly, right? And here's the I think you know I. I won't say I'm going to drop the mic.
Uh-oh.
I won't say that.
Yeah, because you never do know. We got to still to get, teach you how to drop the mic. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So I rather Ninja, and I appreciate Ninja for what he says, because that's much better than having a white person playing the white knight and pretending like there's some activist and just doing it for fucking clout. Thank
you. I was going to say, could you imagine if he actually did do it? He would sound and look like a clown. And then people give him shit about that. Oh, you're some white boy. Why are you talking about that? It's like, but you wanted him to talk about that in the first place. What the fuck do you want? You want him to say something? You want him to not say something? Which is it? You know? So either way, he can't win. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking crazy. But yeah, I think that's that's a good way of ending. It's like, how about you parent your fucking kids? How about that? You had them, you know? You spread your fucking legs and stuck your dick in them in this woman, raw dog. How about you parent the kid instead? Oh, instead of having ninja dude do it,
some
you know?
Some kids get adopted, yo. Damn.
Apparently, because he talks to children, they think he's supposed to be Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, right?
No, hey, won't you be, you know, what's he going to do? Sing a song and stuff? No, that's not his deal.
Yeah.
Depends on the song.
Yeah, he was never a child's entertainer.
No, he like.
Crash Goblins are your responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And by the way, parents, if you're letting your kids listen to Throwdown, you're a bad fucking parent. We put that disclaimer up there for a reason, you know?
There's a disclaimer on the show
for a fucking reason. Yeah, 18 and above, people, you know? Don't let your kids listen to us. Yep. And don't tell us to change our fucking ways either. You're responsible. Adam, don't let your kids listen to this show, bro.
My daughter, she has YouTube Kids. It's a lock. She don't have any of the other apps. She knows about some things that I do. I don't tell her name. I don't do any of that stuff.
Adam, what if what if your kid figures out about Throwdown?
She'd cry all the time. I don't even know you, Daddy.
Daddy, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Why do you say that?
Anyhow, that's what you keep talking about identity politics on your show.
I've been doing this with like 5 years. My wife hasn't listened to one damn episode. She don't listen to any of this shit.
That's good, show up tomorrow.
Adam, how come you don't talk about white privilege on your show, man?
That's it. You do at church, Adam.
That's it. She don't care.
Everybody's so angry about an obvious setup. That's the thing that gets me.
No, you're right. He can't win. He can't win no matter what.
Why should talk about racism and stuff? Be like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm staying 10-foot pole, man. No. No, that's not my place. I'll talk about a lot of other things, man. I'll talk about things that are relevant to my life, like maybe a loved one had a disease or I suffered from, you know, a disorder growing up or something like that. Like, I'm not saying he can't talk about something, but for the love of Christ, at least let him choose instead of giving him the worst possible option.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, this is punching down. This fake outrage was created by the New York Times.
Yeah.
So they could punch down on a guy that probably has way more fucking influence and viewers than they do.
Yep.
Right? And that's what's pissing them off. So it's a smear campaign.
Their actual magazine, then their actual newspaper, right?
Fuck the New York Times, man.
Chris, hold on a second. Am I hearing you correctly that an institution with a buttload of cash run by a bunch of rich old white people is really doubling down on the divisive race thing again?
It's amazing. It's like you said, the rich old white. How about you talk about white privilege in your fucking paper and stop bothering this guy who's playing Fortnite for a living?
Yep.
Oh, man. All right.
All you're doing is making people angry at somebody who loves to play video games. Like, there's no malice here. Like, I'm not a fan of Ninja, but like, seems like a good dude who just wants to entertain people and have a good time. Like, there's nothing terribly wrong about it. I wish him no ill.
Yes. Like, I agree with Tony. How if you make your money, right?
Yeah, make,
leave this guy, let this guy live. He just wants to live and play video games. That's his right. Stop bothering the fucking man about this. And stop blaming him for the ills of the world. Like, he calls racism.
Man, that's what they do.
Jesus.
It doesn't matter. Wherever the kids go, that's who they attack. It's whether it's, remember, it was comics for many years. Remember, comics was the fucking the root of all evil.
The tradition of the innocence.
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam.
Yeah.
Do it.
There you go.
Gotta blame something.
Always gotta fucking blame. Always gotta do something. Music, TV, toys, always some fucking bullshit. You know what? The world is fucked up. People need to just accept the fact that it's fucked up. And kids are going to find shit. That's it. You can't shelter them. And you can't bitch if somebody is not pushing whatever morals you want on them. It doesn't work that way.
That's it. All right, man. Let's move on to actual gaming news, you know? All right. So, by the way, this is something we didn't, not this particular incident, but we talked about this before. When we covered, you know, Activision and Blizzard merging, we were like, yo, watch until Activision's tentacles start just eating up Blizzard and other companies. It's already happening. So, Vicarious Visions, one of Adam's favorite companies, is being merged into Blizzard. So now they're effectively Blizzard staff. So they're not going to be working on Tony Hawk's games anymore. None of that. So, Adam, since this affects you directly, what's your take on it, man?
Oh, no, man. Well, Blizzard's all fucked up. I mean, we see everything that's going on over there. So all I can do is hope for the best. You know, that's it. I don't know. I don't know really what to say, because it sort of reminds me of like whenever we would see EA gobble up one of the small studios. I'm like, all right, well, what's going to happen? And we see what happens. They all fall apart. Everything falls apart. So I don't know.
It's funny because they're getting gobbled up by being folded into Blizzard itself. And they have been making games that have been doing pretty well. Well, I think the last Crash game didn't do so well, though.
No, it did. Right? The remake, is that, did they work
on that? They worked on the trilogy. They did the remakes. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they're not the one that did Crash 4.
Crash 4 did pretty well, too, but I think Crash 4 was another studio.
But they did Tony Hawk. They did Tony Hawk.
That did very well as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that really upsets me, because then it's like, well, I thought we were going to get 3 and 4, because that's what
somebody else do it now, you know?
Yeah, well, if they carry the code, then I'll be okay. I don't want them to reinvent the wheel and be like, well, we're going to change this and do that. No, everything was fine. That's the best Tony Hawk that we've ever had. Just copy that shit over, spruce up 3 and 4, because that's what they were talking about. Like, if this one works out, which was Tony Hawk 1 and 2, then they'll come back with 3 and 4. And I was like, oh, great. Then we'll have the whole collection right there. So that's the only thing I really thought about. But who knows? That might be already done. That could be canned already. I mean, it's just sprucing things up. So who knows?
Oh, another thing to know about Vicarious Vision is that they're not being moved. So they're probably just going to be called like Blizzard North or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're not actually moving from Albany, New York. So they're actually upstate New York. Tony's been there, actually.
Yeah, I have. So that's what's probably going to happen. It's just they're in Blizzard employees now.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
That's crazy. All right, not much more to say about that. But again, we told you. We told you, man.
It's a slow process. As soon as stuff started going a little sour with Blizzard, you know, at the Activision side started weaseling in and pulling it. Like, here's a bigger question about Blizzard. How much of the original Blizzard staff, the people that made all your favorite titles, are still there? I don't think anybody's still there anymore.
It's like BioWare. It's the like same thing we talked about with BioWare. Yeah. Same shit. It's like, how many people are like, oh, they don't make the games like these because the motherfuckers aren't there anymore. It's different people. You know,
it's a bunch of unrelated people saying, yes, we know what the world of BioWare was. Wait, when the fuck were you hired? Last week?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what BioWare, the DNA of BioWare was. You weren't even there when it started.
Yeah, I mean, unless they were hardcore fans of the series, of the games and Diablo and stuff. But
well, obviously, whoever was doing the Mass Effect game obviously was not that big of a fan of Mass Effect, because they totally fucked that up.
All right, so there's that. What's up? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, I just hope that, because it was odd, because I was like, well, Tony Hawk made so much money. It was a huge success. And to see something like this happen, it's like, I just can't imagine that they would just risk screwing that up, knowing that they're going to get all these people that are interested in the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 to come back for the second one. So I'm hoping that that's already canned and done, or they're still going to be allowed to work on that while they're just still connected to the Blizzard side. We'll see.
They could be folding them in to do something Blizzard specific.
Well, like, that's what they said. They're going to be working on Blizzard games now.
Yeah. So yeah, because they seem to be good at remastering things, right? Or reimagining things. So my guess is that they might throw them onto a classic Blizzard title to kind of spruce those up.
Maybe we'll finally get the StarCraft one. What was it called?
Not Ghost.
They're not gonna do that. That game is dead. Dead forever.
I think if they're gonna, you know, because they seem to be interested in you know, going through old back catalog. I mean, what if they had them do a reboot on Diablo 1, something like that, like something that was a big franchise, but they don't want to put a lot into it.
So they'll put it on mobile.
No, I don't think Vicarious Vision will do a mobile thing, but I think that what they'll do is that they'll slap them onto a big franchise, but doing a remaster of something from Blizzard specific. So I don't know. What if they already did a new StarCraft? They already did a new World of Warcraft. I figured they'll probably stick them onto something else to kind of, you know, spruce up and do
Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, maybe we'll work on that.
Dota. I don't know. Wait, Dota's not them, right?
No, it's not them.
The card game. Shit, I stopped playing years ago.
Oh, Hearthstone. Hearthstone makes too much money for them to have them jump on that.
But port that over, because a lot of people are like, shit, they should put this on Switch. That'll be awesome to play it on Switch.
I mean,
I was like, you can play it on your phone.
They could theoretically do that, but I don't know if they're going to be giving Vicarious Vision any sort of big control anymore. They're not going to be doing any. Well, then again, they're just
merging all of them, so it's not. It's going to be. They're not even going to be an independent entity anymore. You know?
Oh no! I mean, again, there's not moving the studio, so they're still somewhat independent, but they're not going to be able to. They're not going to be. They're probably just going to be answering
just a branch of Blizzard now. Blizzard, that's all. Yeah.
It's kind of like the way Rockstar, you know, has different branches all over the place. They're all Rockstar, but they're different.
Yeah.
You know, parts of it. Yeah, so like it's kind of like that. Yeah. So this would probably be like Blizzard North that they would say.
Yeah. Right. All right, man. Let's move on. Next thing.
At least it's actually cold. Unlike where the real Blizzard is.
Yo, Carl, I see that Kaiju action over there, man.
Yo, man, I just got this.
Nice, nice. Let me know how that is, that HDR. All right, Pacific Rim for you guys listening at home. All right, moving on. Okay, so this is funny. All right, so upcoming Warner Brothers games will seemingly have a heavy focus on live services. So here we go with the bullshit.
Oh, boy.
Here we go with the bullshit.
I mean, you say here we go with the bullshit. We already knew this. The announcements that they already made, those were all multiplayer games. This ain't new information.
Like Batman, right?
The Batman game, what was that? The new Batman game was, I can't remember the name of it, but that new...
Gotham Knights?
Yeah, Gotham Knights. What is that? That's a multiplayer game. What is the new Harley Quinn and the Suicide Squad game? Another multiplayer game.
But this did so well for them with Shadow of War, you know?
Yeah.
That went over well. Oh, you let the balloon, man.
Didn't.
So, yeah. I mean, Manny's right. We've seen them go down this ride for a while, but now they're just telling you, like, yo, we're going to be doing all these live service games.
Putting a nice little star or asterisk right next to it so that you know what they're doing now as opposed to just seeing what's there.
Yeah, exactly.
they stuck a sign in it.
It's the future.
Yeah.
Is it the future? Bullshit. Is it the future?
Yeah, dude, like,
Is Avengers the game the future? Because it doesn't look like it's the future.
No.
That's what they're doing with those Batman games. No,
let me finish, Manny. Go ahead, Brett. How's the future?
No, the concept of live service games, the concept of MMOs being integrated, like there's no reason for, even if you think about it, there's no reason for somebody not even to play a single player game in a multiplayer setting to a certain extent, because you might happen across another player and that creates content. Just the interactions between you and other players create additional content. So it's a self-serving, kind of self-feeding thing. And I think the kids younger than us are kind of conditioned to, you know, want to be in that group. Like, we think of it like, well, I'm going to go to my safe space, chill out. You know, it's almost like reading a book, right? But, like, kids view it as more being on a playground. And why would you want to be on a playground or go play by yourself when everybody's having a party over here? It's just a difference of perception between us and the younger crowd.
Because nobody kicks over my fucking sandcastle when I'm fucking building it. That's why.
No, trust me. I mean, I play a little bit that way. Like, I like multiplayer games, but even then, I get it. But I also get the other side. Like, I don't know if any of you have ever really gotten into an MMO. It kind of becomes this weird kind of second life. There are so many games within that game, and it's so persistent, and it's a social experience that you just kind of honestly end up playing that game because you don't really need a lot else. You play a cinematic game every now and then, but then you go back to that place where all your friends hang out. It's just a different mindset, but it makes more money, and it makes the players create content for the studios. So,
but I don't think
that's why they want live service games, because it makes them more money, or the potential. Because the thing is, we've seen a lot of failures, Avengers being one of the biggest failures, you know, when they tried that bullshit.
I don't think doing that with a superhero game with such a solid with solid lore and stuff like that is the place to do that. I think if they created
I don't either.
I don't think Batman
worked with DC Universe Online.
Well, DC Universe Online, but what are you doing in DC Online? You're still making your own character. You're not playing Superman or Batman. Batman and Superman are hanging out somewhere else.
I got you. So you're saying the fact that you're playing as like an actual character makes a difference.
Because you create agency because you've created that character. You can't create any agency over Batman or Superman or any of the Avengers because they've already have that established space.
Yeah.
They're not you.
I believe this is that's why it's that. I think the concept that they I know the concept they're reaching for. I believe they failed completely to achieve it because people haven't figured this out, which is weird to me. Because these live service games, they're basically all MMO lights. And there is a tried and true roadmap that helped MMOs, but it was subscription. Like, and that's just the way that it was.
Look at another good example.
Bitch about paying $15 a month.
Look at another good example. Conan Exiles. You're not playing Conan. You can play a character that's Conan-esque, but it's your own created character in the world of Conan. And I think that's... Yeah. If we're going to go down the world of services and putting people into if you want to put people into the DC universe, you have to be able to essentially allow for a character, a person to create their own character within that world, to create their own agency.
I just want DC Universe 2. I fucking love DC Universe. Like the modes of locomotion, I'm surprised nobody stole that. Like the flying mechanics were equivalent to the Spider-Man mechanics. Like flying was intuitive.
Yeah, and it's fun. Really good.
Didn't Marvel their Marvel Heroes their version
that thing bombs that bombed that MMO.
No,
but DC Universe.
Oh, was... that bombed. Wait, Tony, you nailed something that Manny was just talking about. Yeah. That bombed because you couldn't make your own character. You had to play as Marvel Heroes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go then.
There's a different space of you know, because also service space doesn't also always mean that it needs to be sort of like, you know, Fortnite or any of those sorts of games like that. Also, service games are the idea of kind of what they've turned fighting games into. Essentially, Mortal Kombat.
Games, yeah.
Mortal Kombat has essentially been turned into a service game. But what they do is. With each addition that they do, they give you more stuff. Like, okay, now, you know, when you get this new update, you get like 10 new characters, you get a bunch of new costumes for some of your old characters, you get maybe an additional story modes for all the added new characters. So you have something like that. And that has sort of proven to be a sort of effective service-based thing. Doesn't work for every single fighting game, but I think it's for at least Mortal Kombat it's worked because because of who they choose to put into it. You want to play fucking Rambo, you want to play RoboCop, you want to play the Predator or Freddy, whoever else they want to put in there, because they give you that little that hanging fruit for there. Like, oh hey, look, it's Freddy, yeah, you can play him. Got all the Ninja Turtles, you know, stuff like that.
All right, anything else you guys want to say? Go ahead.
I'm actually slightly different compared to you guys, because I think it could work. I'm not saying that they should. I'm not saying that it will be good. All I'm saying is that I think that it could work if they approach it from the right point of view. Because if you already look,
what's the right point of view?
Well, again, this is coming from a guy that's played 3,000 hours of Warframe. Warframe is pretty much a live service game. And it's been sustained for over 7 years plus. I mean, it started off as Dark Sector, which came out as a trailer in 2005. So it's been a thing for some time, and it's been weird like that. And if they follow a model similar to that, where one, each character that you play, it can have its own distinct lore, which is fine. Again, like DC characters have that checked. Two, as long as they have their own distinct powers and roles within the system and in a team composition, and you can customize the loadout so that you can either work in a group environment or a solo environment, which it is possible, a la Warframe or pretty much any MMO type game. So even like stuff like the Division, where you can load up your guy to be good in a team or good solo. Three, if they release updates at a frequent enough rate and each update makes sense, and if you look at comics in general, like every now and then they have some sort of grouped event happening, right? Or they have like different chapters. So you can have like, okay, this month we'll do like the Dark Knight update, or this month we'll do like the House of Owls, or sorry, the Court of Owls update, or this month we'll do like this storyline. So because the comics themselves already have an idea of like, hey, here's a storyline that we can incorporate into the gameplay. So they say, okay, in this Court of Owls update, you can go through the story of the Court of Owls and you meet the characters, you do the fights and all sorts. So it's already kind of planned out if you look at it from that point of view. And if they follow it well enough, I think it could be successful.
Sounds like what DC Universe Online did. They used to do that all the time. They used to introduce like new storylines kind of based on what was happening in the comics at the time. So some of the long lines.
It's because I think why a game like Warframe works and why a lot of these games work, they give the player agency over their world. You are your own hero as opposed to playing somebody else. You're not Superman. You can be Superman-esque. In fact, you can even make a character that looks exactly like Superman in DC Online, but you still have that ability to create your own sort of thing. And I think that's what those sorts of service games need to be when you're looking to set these things in the world of these comics.
Yeah.
Because you can't do anything drastic with Superman, right? You can't cause, you can't do anything hard, anything that a gamer would normally do with Superman, because it essentially ruins everything about the character, because he is so set in the way he is. But if you had your own Superman-esque character, you can do whatever you want, right?
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. You could just make Duperman and have him just be his own creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ricky Rouse and Monald Muck.
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. Like, as somebody who plays those games, it's a lot of it is freedom of expression. And I can tell you that's quantified. The more choices you give me, or the more tools you give me, not even choices. I think that's something that video games are still trying to discern. The more tools that you give me, the more fun I'm going to have in a game. So, like, you let me customize my character appearance, awesome. I'm going to do that. You let me customize my stat, my class, cool. I can do that. You let me customize my stats individually. Okay, awesome. We're getting into some old school RPG shit right here. And there's middle grounds, like, you can have branching things. Like, I don't like being constricted in any of it. And then on top of that, if you let me build shit, oh man, I'm hooked. Like, if the ways I can have control over my character and my environment definitely make the game way more addictive. I even remember in DC Online, to support Manny's point, there are quests you go play. Quest is one of the classic heroes. Do you remember that, Tony?
I don't know. Like, I just remember you could play as the heroes and the villains, and you could do some shit with them.
Yeah. There were things that, like, you're like, oh, you're playing this quest as Batman. Nobody liked him. Nobody played him.
Yeah, that's like, right. Yeah, Batman. They did introduce those character later on. Yeah. Just to get this out of my problem with DC Online is it never fucking ended. I'm like, where's the end of this? Like, it's just going to keep going. And that's when I had to drop it, when I realized, oh, there is no end. It just goes on forever. I'm like, I can't get down with that, you know?
Would that have changed?
Brett, your question?
Would that have changed if it had a clear cinematic storyline like KOTOR does?
You mean with an ending? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, KOTOR has an ending. Like, you can keep playing after you've...
Well, KOTOR is not an MMO.
Yes, it is.
KOTOR?
Or, excuse me, SWTOR.
Oh, yeah. That's the other reason I interested. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. You know, I'm not playing these endless games. I didn't know it had an ending.
Each class has its own, like, Mass Effect-esque storyline with branching endings based on the choices that you make. So, it's like playing a Mass Effect game.
Okay, that's good to know. Again, when I'm playing a game, I need to know, okay, what is the goal I'm working towards so I can finish this and then move on to the next game, you know? These service games where they just go on forever, that destroys my notion of what a video game is supposed to be, you know? It's like, supposed to have an ending so I could, something I could work towards, you know?
Yeah, well, and this is more and more why I think that we need to go back to the old model of just subscription. It doesn't need to be forever. People like Tony would play a lot of, even Warcraft had like a main quest. And the idea is that the main quest line will take you from level 0 to level 60. And in doing so, you'll do, you know, quests, you'll do dungeons, you'll do all kinds of stuff. You know, trying to get your level up high enough to hit the next zone. You know, there's a little bit of classic, you know, grinding to the next zone so you can continue the storyline. And then you hit it, and you can unsubscribe. You can pay $15, just play the shit out of it. Well, you can barely probably take out all the content in just, you know, a month. But, like, you know, 2 months, you play the main thing, you top out in the in your quest line and your level, and then a lot of people just retire. And then there's a lot of people who stay on and do the same dungeons in harder mode to get ever better quests. And that's the only thing that Destiny replicated. That's the thing that kind of pisses me off. Like, Destiny replicated the end boring part of MMOs. Like, I was never an epic dungeoneer. You know, raids are fun, but not 60-man raids. Fuck you. That's way too much of a commitment. But that's the part they copied, where everything just gets repetitive and the same and kind of harder. But no, most of them have a distinct storyline. Well, they used to. And microtransactions, they do a different thing. It seems like they're always trying to sneak money out of you. And even when you do, like, buy a microtransaction, you're like, oh, that's a really cool helmet. It changes nothing, but I'd like to have it. You buy it, you're just like, ah, man, like, I know it was, like, $3, but I kind of feel bad just supporting this at all. Like, I'm one of those people where I have more, you know, extra cash. Like, I get a big tip, and, like, I'm like, cool, well, I can, you know, grab a video game or something like that. So I have more time, essentially, or money than time, even though I don't really have that much money or time. So I'm one of the people that in theory would buy these microtransactions. So I forgot where I was going with this. I'm the one that's aimed at, and even I'm like, you know, this is fishy, this is suspicious. If I went into one of these games knowing, like, okay, I'm gonna give myself a $15 a month allowance just to buy cool cosmetic shit and everything like that, I'd probably enjoy it quite a bit more. So there's the perception of how you're spending the money, but I honestly think, like, 10-15 bucks a month, something like that, and it feels like you have this evergreen game that is actively supported, that feels like it's constantly throwing you surprises and parties. You know, I've, like, Monster Hunter kind of did, but, you know, more consistent. There should always be something new going on, but not, you know, part of the main quest kind of thing. I think games would just do much better with that. I know that was a long ramble, but we need to bring back subscription-based because the results are better.
Right. I just think that, like, there, I mean, here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I also think, you know, in the DC department, it's not the best of places to sort of try to create an experiment with that sort of idea. But granted, I think the reason why they'll do it is because it has that sort of recognizable characters in it. So the attracting factor, oh, it's the DC world, you know, it's the Mortal Kombat world or whatever else they got.
You know, see, I disagree because I think that there are certain worlds that have been the intersection of so many stories and so many projects that they have very intricate laid out backstory. And I think people want to see or be in that world just as much as they want to see the characters. Like, when people were playing DC, like, it wasn't like, oh, man, I've got to play as Batman. It's, I got to run around Gotham.
Yeah, well, no, it's those iconic. I'm not saying that that's not a thing. Like, those iconic places are there. But I do think that having those sorts of, you know, if you're making everybody be Batmans or people in universe, it's not the way to go.
Not with the character. You sell the environment. That's the way.
Sell the environment. Yeah, exactly. It's the sort of, you know, it's part of it is also think about it like in PlayStation Home, right? There's another, if you think about it, was an MMO, but you just didn't do anything. But, man, you know, like being able to go into one of those worlds and, hey, look, I'm standing in Sully's office, or I'm in a portion of Uncharted, you know, or there was some other games that they had put in there too, where you could walk. There was in one portion of it, they literally built the whole Ghostbusters mansion, and you could literally walk around it and mess with the car and look at Vigo and all kinds of other silly stuff. Nice. So I think those things are definitely cool. But I don't think, you know, doing story, like, you playing as a well-known character is one something that'll help that. idea. And I think here's a question. Is that game the Harley Quinn game? Isn't that going to be like an Overwatch game?
We don't know, dog. Suicide Squad. We honestly don't know.
I believe that game is going to be Overwatch. Their version of Overwatch.
I don't want to speculate. I honestly don't know.
That's an interesting thing because, okay, so like if you take the idea of Overwatch, right, where you have these kind of cool looking characters and they're shooting each other, that model seems to work too. They're established characters. All those characters in Overwatch have backstories and all kinds of other stuff, but granted, in the game that you're currently playing, they don't. So like they're in this arena, they're shooting each other. They have their reasons for being there, but it's not directly expressed within the game, which is interesting.
All right. All right, let's move on, man. Next up, we got Returnal, one of the few PlayStation 5 exclusives only on PlayStation 5, has been delayed, people. Originally, it was supposed to come out March 19th. It is now coming out to April 30th. And this is the shit we were telling you guys. You're going to see a lot of delays this year thanks to the craziness of Cyberpunk. Nobody wants to be mixed up in shit like that. So expect more of this. The story itself is kind of like whatever. Like, you know, I don't really care about Returnal, but it just goes to show yet again. I mean, how many delays have we had this year alone? Like 5 games have already been delayed. And I'm telling you, it's because they don't want what happened with Cyberpunk to happen to them. And that's a good thing. You know, the ladies fuck games until they're ready. So I'm all for it, you know? They don't want King Kong T-posing, you know?
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, Brett. What were you going to say?
Oh, they're good. They should be scared of their audience. They've been dismissive of them for too long. They just think that they can ride the coattails of their own properties. No. Maybe they'll actually have to focus on making good product now.
So there you go. There was some other fucking game. I forgot what it was. They were like, we're delaying this shit to 2022. I'm like, all right, do what you got to do, Ben. You know,
it goes to show you, listen to your developers when they say to you, hey, this shit's not ready.
Yeah.
By the way, I wonder how many of them went then, like, read all the stuff that happened and then went to their team and went like, so how ready is our game really? And they're like, I told you like 40% and you said 80, right?
Yeah, sounds like 80 to me.
Should we delay the game? They're like, yes! Like, okay. Like the first time they've ever talked.
It's insane. So yeah, nothing remarkable about the delay itself. It's just another example, you know, but it's good.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, I'd say, yeah, go and this game got delayed, and wasn't the other one delayed too? Their sort of racing Fortnite game? That thing was delayed too.
It was. It's actually coming out. It's going to be one of the one of the PlayStation Plus
next games. Week.
Yeah, next week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh wait, next week is actually a really good Plus. We get that. We get Control Ultimate Edition. By the way,
man,
I'm pissed because I bought the shit last month.
Yeah, remember we did. We saw that it had it was the PS5 one.
Yeah, I bought the shit.
Let's get it.
Yeah, so that's coming. So we got Control Ultimate Edition, we got Destruction All Stars, and Concrete Genie, which, if you guys remember, I think I talked about this on a previous story, and that was my 20th game finished in 2020, because I was like, hold on, I've finished 19 games. I can't end the year on an odd number. That's fucking crazy. So I beat that because I already almost finished it. So good selection overall. I didn't get the platinum Concrete Genie.
Manny did.
Oh, Manny, you got Manny. You, no. You never played that.
Why
shit.
Didn't? I don't you, even you never play that played game.
It. What are you talking about?
No, that's enough, man. Man.
Yeah.
No,
we
ain't
no
another Manny.
There's another one. How many cousins you got, Manny?
There can be only one cousin, Manny. I've killed them all.
Oh man! All right, and the last story of the night here. Okay, you guys remember Bleeding Edge?
Yes.
See, the only guy. Exactly.
Exactly. I was the only one that played it.
Wait, I just said yes.
No, Manny, I said you were the only guy. That's my point. Nobody remembers this from me.
Played it.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things. You have to think like
played it.
Yeah, it's like the first thing you'll be like, this Cliffy B game? No, that's not right. That's not right. Ninja Theory. Ninja Theory's only. MP game, multiplayer game, has effectively been canceled. Nobody played it, you know? And here's the thing. I'm just going to say this right now. I am not against the studio stretching their arms or legs or whatever, trying something new. But, Ninja Theory, they're known. I was about to say Team Ninja. I was going to fuck that up. But Ninja Theory, they're known for being a you know, narrative focused studio, right? That's what they do. So this shit was kind of destined to fail, you know, and it did. Just like Cliffy B's fucking game, whatever the fuck it was, something Heights. You know?
I'm also going to say this.
Radical Heights.
Yeah.
I'm also going to say this.
That was the second one.
That game was unremarkable. A Ninja Theory game. There was nothing about that.
Man.
It was generic. Again, like if you were talking about Ninja Theory, usually there's a certain art design. It feels a certain way, yeah, right?
It feels like a Ninja Theory game.
It feels like a Ninja Theory game. What the hell was that shit? It didn't even what like it, it. It's like, I get it. You know, you want to go a different direction. You want to go, but there is a certain sort of wheelhouse. And I feel like if that game was the combination of Senua Sacrifice, you know, all those sort of medieval sort of ish games like they make, you know, like Senua Sacrifice, Journey to the West,
yeah, Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly Sword, if it felt like any of those three titles, I feel like it would have probably been a little bit more unique rather than just, you know.
Yeah, by the way, Descendants doesn't even have to be like the passes. Think about it. You know, DMC, Devil May Cry, they made that. That's a Ninja Theory-ass game. You could tell like, right away, you know.
Yeah, it feels it has their that feel to that their games seem to have.
Yeah, so yeah, Bleeding Edge, gone.
Obviously, it wasn't Bleeding Edge because
it led to death, you know.
Yeah, we could have told you this years ago.
I think tell you that years ago. Yeah,
we did say something along the lines of like, hey, what the fuck is this shit? Come on, guys. But I'm gonna say this. I'm sure that game didn't cost them a lot to make because they seem to be all in about middleware sort of titles, right? So my guess is they probably spent a modular amount of money developing that game. So it probably doesn't hurt them too bad if it just goes bad.
Yeah.
Right?
It was announced at E3 2019. That's not that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
Damn, that game really came and went.
No, it literally came in under the radar. It did like nobody, like they're like, you know, and then not long after that, they announced the whole acquisition, right?
It was around that time, yeah. As a matter of fact, that was their first game for Xbox. That was their first game for Xbox. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
And remember, the theory was that they made that game to satisfy Microsoft because it's multiplayer like a Microsoft game. But that was bullshit because obviously the game had to have been in development before the acquisition, you know?
Yeah, they don't just like flip that out in just like 2 seconds. No,
but you know, with these multiplayer games, maybe they did, you know?
I don't know. It's still. It's
like, what do you do? You just throw a bunch of motherfuckers on an arena and go let them go nuts. But no, the game was probably in development before that.
I'm sure that's one of the things that they sort of sold Microsoft on it. Like, okay, we got this thing that we're working on, this Bleeding Edge game, and then we got, you know, we're in the beginnings of working on Senua's Sacrifice too.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Ivan3DD. I think that's Anchorman. I believe. What's going on, man?
What's up, Anchorman?
Anchorman.
He's a man with a plan.
He's the anchor man. All right. I think we're done here, people. Manny, you have anything you want to plug?
What just came out? Oh, wait, hold on. I got visual aid here.
Uh-oh, visual aid. The visual aid guy.
Visual aid guy. Here. Just came out. Hot off the presses. Immortal Wonder Woman. Number one, is that? Yes, number one. Immortal Wonder Woman, number one. I did a section of it with Nubia, right there, so you guys can see.
That's the black Wonder Woman.
This is a double size issue of Immortal Wonder Woman. So it's, you know, original Wonder Woman, and it's Nubia who's going to be taking over the mantle of Wonder Woman in the future or something like that. So yeah, fun book. Worked with Aletha Martinez, Mark Morales, LL McKinley. Really cool stuff. We got, and I think that's part of the Future State thing. And in fact, I'm all over Future State because me and Kari did covers for the Aquaman book starring Kaldor, not to be confused with the store.
Yeah, hey, motherfuckers outside New York don't know Kaldor, man.
You don't know Kaldor. Yeah, so yeah, we both did covers for that, and then we got some other fun stuff happening up in the future. So yeah. If you're interested, go check out Immortal Wonder Woman number one.
Good stuff. By the way, real quick. Okay, so Ivan is actually Young Savage. My man, that dude's been with us forever, man, from YouTube.
What?
Thanks for joining us on the Twitch, baby. Good stuff. Adam, man, you got anything to plug?
Nothing yet. Nothing yet. Soon, February, you know. So
February.
So
February. February.
The Febbies.
You got some Mets paraphernalia on, man? Adam? Is that like a Mets?
Wearing a New York shirt.
Yeah, Mets, right?
No.
Zoo York. I thought it was the Mets. I saw the orange and blue, you know?
Zoo York.
All right,
when they were still New York, I don't know where the fuck they're. Nike wound up bought them, and then I think they sold them.
Zoo York, damn.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy. All right, man, we're done here, people. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join our Discord. You can follow us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. You can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Deuces.
Adam Vale.
Weekend, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been later, party people.
Oh, wait. Did I do have some? Well, we got the Royal Rumble.
Oh, we got to do it again. Brett Murdoch. There he is.
It's been real, people.
And Brian Majomo.
It's been fun, people.
All right, go buy stocks, man. Stick it to the man.
Yeah, right. Stonks are up.
Stonks, baby. You'll buy some Doge or whatever the fuck we're going.
That's it. Lick that thumb and go with the fudge tongue.
Yeah, you'll be
alright. Whoa.
Oh, man. And leave Ninja alone, man. Alright, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.